Good morning, brother.
Good morning.
So many smiling, happy faces. So good to see you all.
You know, I read a story. In the late 1800s, Alfred Lord Tennyson, you might have heard that name before, he invited a Russian nobleman to his estate. And early one morning, this nobleman took off with dogs and guns and servants to go hunting. And at midday, he returned, and Lord Tennyson asked him how he did. And he answered, "Well, not very well. I shot two peasants." And Lord Tennyson thought for a moment. He said, "No, we pronounce it with a PH here. It's pheasants. You shot two pheasants." He said, "No." He said, "I shot two peasants. They were insolent towards me, so I shot them." So, you know, a story like that. Nowadays, you would think, well, you know, we've moved on past that, but then there's the story from Philadelphia from a year or so ago, where a man was driving down the road and a lot of construction traffic, everybody backed up, and as he was driving along, he had another vehicle, just about the time he was to merge into the other traffic, another vehicle ran up along the side of him on the shoulder and cut him off and pulled in front of him. And the driver kind of looked back and smirked at him and gave him a very unfriendly gesture. And the man followed him a little ways farther. And the next time the traffic stopped, he got out of his car and walked up and shot him to death. And what really got my attention this week, which kind of got me thinking about this and why I came up with this and why this topic today seemed important to me, was the story that happened this week in New Mexico. Some of you might have read about that in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where a man had picked up his 4-year-old and 7-year-old from school, was headed home with them, and a car cut him off, and they were kind of going back and forth, and the next thing he heard was gunshots. And he sped up to try and get away from the car, and the car followed him, and 2 more gunshots. And his son in the back seat said, "Dad, you know, my sister's bleeding." And he pulled over and found that his 4-year-old daughter had been shot and died in his arms. And we live in an age, brethren, where as soon as I read that story and thought about it, and it reminded me of what God says in the Bible, to be angry, but sin not. And it is so hard in today's society. Now, I don't think any of us would go that far. I think we all have more self-control than that. But brethren, have any of you ever lost your temper? Do you ever do things that you wish you hadn't done? Or say things that you wish you had never said? You know, the Bible has something to say about overcoming anger. Let's turn to James 1 and verse 19. James 1. And verse 19, and we read, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Brethren, we must overcome. Learn to overcome our anger if we are ever to produce the righteousness of God. Let's turn back now to Proverbs. We're going to be in Proverbs quite a bit today. We're going to start in Proverbs 19. Proverbs tells us, in the words of Solomon, many different things about anger. Proverbs chapter 19, and this time verse 11. Proverbs 19, verse 11, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression." Now, when we look at the word discretion, it is described as, or defined as, the quality or ability to make a responsible or good judgment. Now, quality or ability is another way of saying that you have the wisdom or the discernment to make a right choice. So that wisdom, brethren, that's what we need to find. That's the secret for us. If someone offends us, and if we're a man or a woman, we need to know and seek and know that we have godly wisdom. And then you can overlook it and not allow the situation to become a major event that can overwhelm you and lead you to say or do something that you'll regret later. In looking at different examples in the Bible, there are four types of anger that are dealt with, and we're going to discuss those four today. The first one is sudden anger, and the Bible talks about that, that is to be controlled. The second one is sinful anger, and the Bible says that sinful anger is to be condemned. The third type of anger is stubborn anger, and of course, stubborn anger, we must learn how to conquer it. And the fourth type of anger is sanctified anger, and that must be channeled in the right way. So this morning, brethren, we're going to look at these four types of anger to see how they affect us and how they play a part in our lives. The first one of these is sudden anger. Let's turn to Proverbs 14, just back a couple pages. In verse 17, that sudden anger, that instant moment where we know we've achieved maximum anger and we need to figure out how to control it. Proverbs 14, verse 17, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. We already know that because we've all experienced that at some form in our lives. I'm sure all of us have had that sudden anger, that quick moment where that car cuts you off, or the lady at the grocery store shortchanged you. Or something happened that led you to a moment where you had anger and it was intense and it was quick. Now, we might blame our quick temper on our red hair. You know, that's the reason. I've got red hair, so I got that fiery temper. Or maybe we blame it on our heritage. I mean, after all, I'm Irish, so I'm allowed to be a little quick tempered. Or, you know, it might be something we're even proud of the fact. But the bottom line is, brethren, if we have a short fuse, we're going to do a lot of foolish things. When I was younger, just after we got married, I have to admit I had a very short fuse. It was not the right thing to do. And there were things that I said and did that I still regret today. Now, I could say it was hereditary. I could say I got it from my father. And there might be a little bit of truth to that, but I can't totally blame him for that because we all have control. But I will say this. If you want to know about what kind of anger he might have had or what kind of issues my father had, ask him about boxing when he was in the Army. That'll explain a lot of things for you. But that's his life and what he has to deal with. And we each have to look at our own lives. We cannot blame anyone else for our short fuse. It's something we have to each overcome. It wasn't and it isn't something that we can blame on others. When we lose our temper and we say things we know we shouldn't have said and do things that we're sorry for later on, that's on us, brethren. We can't blame anyone else for that. Let's turn to Proverbs 15, just over a page in verse 18. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. That simply means, brethren, that if you have a short fuse, if you're always losing your temper, if you're walking around with that chip on your shoulder, just looking for somebody to say something that will knock it off, that will irritate you, then you're going to leave a trail of hurt feelings and unhappiness behind you. It's something you have to recognize and something you have to strive to overcome. Will Rogers said one time, whenever you fly into a rage, you seldom make a safe landing. There's a lot of truth to that. Another quote I remember that I found, it said, talks about a man, he said, I got so angry that I gave him a piece of my mind, and it turns out it was a piece that I couldn't afford to lose. So remember that, brethren. Remember that when you get angry. Remember how quickly you can lose control. It is something we all have to work on. We have to learn to not say something stupid when we're angry that we're going to regret later. And we also have to understand that when we do, we usually stir up the other people's anger as well. Let's turn to Proverbs 18, over a couple more pages in verse 13. Proverbs 18, verse 13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Solomon is talking here about us jumping to conclusions. We hear just a little bit of what is said. Maybe we overhear a statement that somebody else said, and instantly we're angry. Oh, they were talking about me. That had something to do with me. I know they meant that for me. And then we found out later that it wasn't even about us. And we got all angry for nothing. And we lost our temper for no reason. Those are things we have to look at, brethren, things we have to fight. So we are not out there jumping to conclusions. As Solomon says, that becomes our folly and our shame. Proverbs 19 and verse 19. Over another page. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 19. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Basically, brethren, a hot-tempered person, somebody that has that short fuse, at some point they're going to have to answer for that. At some point, they're going to have to pay the penalty of that fuse. If they don't learn from their mistakes, if we don't learn from our mistakes, chances are we're going to repeat them over and over and over again. And God wants us to change. He wants us to learn. He wants us to be able to see that in ourselves so we can change. And, you know, we're being told about it, not just by our friends and our family, but there are doctors out there that will tell you anytime, if you lose your temper, if you're getting angry, you're a likely chance that you're going to have high blood pressure. You're going to have more of a chance that you could have a fast-beating heart. You could drive yourself to a heart attack just because you're not controlling your anger. A hot temper could also mean loss of family and friends. And the penalties of losing our temper, there are many, brethren, and we have to be careful to look out for that. You know, we all work with different people in our lives, in different situations. I work with a guy that this week we had to go to Louisville. We spent the day driving up there, measuring a job, and driving back. And, you know, I'm talking to him on the way up there, and I'd already had this in my mind, was working on my sermon. And so I was talking to him a little bit about anger, and he told me, he said, oh, I don't let those things bother me anymore. He said, I just had to stop worrying about those things and just had to calm myself down. I'm like, well, that's great. Glad to hear that. That's good that you're taking that initiative. And then a car cut in front of us. Oh, that dirty son of a... Oh, I said, what happened to the guy I was just talking to that was all under control? He said, man, I should have brought my gun today. I'd have shot that guy. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute here. You just said you were under control. What happened to that? And the rest of the way, it didn't matter. There was one time we're driving down the highway, and there was a car that was trying to get around. Oh, I'm not letting him in. He spelled, they think they're getting by me. They got another thing coming. It was all anger and just, man, he was fired up. And I thought, what he told me a couple hours ago, he can't put into his life. He can't live what he was saying. And we know that's difficult, brother. And, you know, those in the world that don't have God's Holy Spirit, they don't have the same ability to fight through those things. And it's tough. It's tough even with God's Holy Spirit. We have to constantly watch our attitude, watch what we're doing, and control our minds. The Bible says if you have a sudden temper that you need to control it. But how can we do that? You may ask yourself, why can't I just control my temper? It gets away from me. But you can, brethren. Have you ever found yourself in a heated discussion? You were fired up and you were, whoever it is, you're back and forth and you're really going at it. And the phone rings. Hello? Huh. You couldn't control that temper 2 seconds ago when that phone rang. Hello, how are you? Yeah, and right back at it you go. So don't tell me you can't control your temper. Don't tell God you can't control your temper when you can instantly change that attitude when you want to. That's what we have to do, brethren. We have to find a way to control it. Help and ask God. If you truly want to change, go to God with your problem and ask for his help. Tell him how you're beginning to lose your temper, as you've done many times before, and then ask him to help you to see what it is that's causing it to happen so you can overcome it. Pray, brethren, for God's Holy Spirit to guide you and to change you so you can overcome that anger, that sudden anger. The second type of anger is sinful anger. Now, not all anger is sinful, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, but some anger is, brethren. Let's look at some situations or tests that come up in our lives to determine whether or not our anger is sinful. Let's look at Matthew 5 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. We see here Matthew 5, 21, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment." Verse 22, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, of the judgment." Now that passage, brethren, tells us some things about anger that should help us to realize when our anger is sinful or not. Notice, first of all, it says, anyone who is angry with his brother. Now, if you're a brother or a sister to someone, it indicates that you are a member of the same family. And maybe you're a member of God's family, of a godly family, the family of God. And if we're brothers and sisters, aren't we to be lifting each other up, supporting and helping each other? We shouldn't be spending our time being angry with one another. In my King James Bible here, it says, without a cause. If you're angry without a cause, if we don't have a legitimate reason for being angry, then this tells us that our anger is sinful. If you're angry at your brother, that indicates that you're focusing your anger on a person. And we should never focus our anger on people, but rather on the sins that they commit. Christ was never angry at people. He was angry at the sins that they committed. We have to look beyond the person. We're to love the person. We're told by God that we must love one another and that we should hate the sin. So if you're angry at your brother, if you're focusing on a person, that means that your anger is sinful. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Romans 12 and verse 19. "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." The third test of our anger, brethren, is this. Is it anger that seeks revenge? Are we always trying to get even with someone? "Oh, that guy cut me off. He thinks he's in front of me now. You just wait. I'll be in front of him in just a minute. I'll fix him." See? We know what that is. We know what that means. Because unfortunately, most of us have been down that path. Are we always trying to get even? God's Word teaches us that He is the only one that has the right for vengeance. Not us. It says, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. We don't have the right to repay anyone for any wrong they've done against us. But rather, we are to turn that over to God. So if our anger is geared towards seeking revenge, then it is definitely a sinful anger that we must get rid of. If it is vengeful, then most likely it is also anger that is cherished. Remember what Jesus said to the man who was by the pool waiting to be healed, and he couldn't get to the water soon enough? Let's turn back to John 5. We'll read that passage. John 5 and verse 5. John chapter 5 and verse 5. I'm going to read verse 5 and 6. It says here, "Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?'" Christ is asking him, "Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be rid of what you've dealt with for so long?" Brethren, that was a very important question, because there are a lot of people that enjoy being a certain way because it gets them attention. And there are a lot of people who love being angry. They thrive on it. It makes their day to be angry at someone. They've been angry for years, and inside them is this boiling mass of anger that they don't care to get rid of. It's there, and they are happy it's there. It's what makes their day. And we can't allow that in ourselves. We have to replace that with God's Holy Spirit. We cannot allow that type of attitude, that type of anger to boil inside us and to continue to drive us. So if anger is cherished, if it is something we're glad we have and want to keep it and hold on to it, then it is most certainly a sinful anger. And it also be an anger with an unforgiving spirit. The secret to getting rid of anger is to be able to forgive, brethren. If you can't forgive, if you can't release it, then it is a sinful anger. So the five tests to tell whether or not our anger is a sinful anger. Number one, is it directed towards a person? Is our anger directed towards a person? Number two, is it anger without a justifiable cause? Is it anger without a justifiable cause? Number three, is it anger that seeks vengeance? Are we trying to find a way to get back at someone? Is it seeking vengeance? Number four, is it anger that is cherished? Oh, we love that anger so much we want to hold on to it. And number five, is it anger that has an unforgiving spirit? All of these, brethren, are sinful types of anger that we must get rid of. We must remove them. If you ask yourself any of those questions and you answer yes to them, then our anger, brethren, is a sinful anger that we must get rid of. And God tells us that it is to be condemned. If it is sinful, then we need to repent and turn away from it and allow God to forgive us so that we ourselves can become the forgiving person we need to. The third type of anger, stubborn anger. And it is anger that just stays there day after day after day. Ephesians 4 and verse 26. I mentioned this in the beginning of the sermon. We're going to turn there and read it now. Ephesians 4 and verse 26. A passage we're all familiar with. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Be angry and sin not. That's tough to do sometimes. We still have that human nature in us that wants to justify, well, I can do it this time. I'm right this time, so I'm going to be angry. But we have to understand what God says. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And then the next verse, do not let Satan get a foothold. One day you go home and you're angry. You're carrying that chip on your shoulder. Everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong all day, and you have just let it pile up and pile up and pile up. And you go home, and you're just waiting for the first person to say something to try and knock that chip off your shoulder. And then what happens? Your wife says something you don't particularly appreciate. And soon, heated words are exchanged. And it escalates, and you're mad at one another, and you're arguing with one another, and you're yelling at one another. And it really doesn't amount to much, but you're determined you're going to have your way. And she's determined to have her way. So the argument continues. And the sun goes down. And it continues. And then you get into bed. And she's on her side, facing that way. And you're on your side, and you're facing that way. And there's that invisible wall of anger between you. But it's not so invisible because it's a perfect place for Satan to crawl right in bed with you and keep you separate. Because you're not either one willing to look at the other, or regardless of what the other person does, and say, look, I was wrong. I was angry. I made a mistake. God tells us, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. He means it. We have to change. We have to stop that. We have to change that attitude. We have to make the effort. Not wait for the other person. We each have to make the effort to say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Overcome that anger. change where we need to change. We open that door, brethren, and we allow Satan to come right in. We have to be stronger than that. Reading on in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know what happens, what Paul's talking about here, what happens when we allow this to go on? We allow Satan to begin to do his work. Well, of course, the first thing is bitterness. Because we let that hang on all night, the next morning, it's festered to a point where you're angry and then you're bitter about it. Why didn't they apologize? Why didn't they do it this way? It's always the other person, right? It's always their fault. Why didn't they? Instead, why didn't I? And so that bitterness sets in. You begin to think bad about people that you run into and say to you. And then insults and inconsiderate things go on. And it just begins to snowball one on top of the other until you find yourself so angry, you don't know how to get rid of it. It's just continued to build up and build up and build up. And then Paul says that after bitterness comes rage and anger. Rage is bitterness boiling and bubbling inside of you. And anger, that's when we express that rage. You don't think it happens? Look at New Mexico this week. Man got so angry, his rage, he pulled out his gun and started firing bullets at the truck. And struck a 4-year-old girl in the head and killed her. You don't think rage happens? It does, brethren, every day. Every day. It's no longer just inside you. You let that rage build. Next thing you know, you're kicking the cat. You're hitting the wall. You're doing all these things to try and blow it off, to get it out. But you're not getting it out. It's still building up. And then it becomes brawling and shouting and slander, insults, whatever it takes. It just all bubbles out of you because you're not controlling it. Because you've allowed Satan to set foot in there and allow that bitterness to continue to build. It's something we have to be very careful with. It's something that all of us can allow to go too far. The next thing you know, you're walking through the house. Look at this place. Don't you ever clean? I can't believe these kids are filthy. Brethren, don't tell me I'm speaking alone here. We are all dealing with these things in our lives. I know we all have. Because I can look at myself in the mirror and see my own faults. The end result of it all, Paul says, is malice. Malice means that you really desire to harm. That's why we're always reading about someone shooting his wife and then turning the gun on himself. He let it go so far that he just done with it and he shoots his wife. But what happens then? Regret, remorse. He feels, he realizes what he's done. And they turn the gun on themselves. Anger, brethren, can tear us apart. This kind of anger is something we have to work hard to stay away from, to keep it out of our lives. Paul tells us there's a way to get rid of that stubborn anger. Don't let the sun go down on it. Don't go to bed with it. If it's there, you find a way to get rid of it before you go to bed. Because if you allow it to build up overnight and the next day, and that bitterness continues to sink in, you're going to find it a lot harder to get rid of. You have to make the effort right up front. Verse 32, Paul says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. If you want to put that down, you want to put that sin and that anger away before the sun goes down, then you go to God and you ask for His forgiveness because He's forgiven you and you ask Him to be able to forgive others. Because that's what it's going to take. If you're going to overcome this, you have to be able to take it out of your life. We have to remember that God forgives us. When we have sudden anger, brethren, it must be controlled. When we have sinful anger, it must be condemned. When we have stubborn anger, it must be conquered. We cannot allow it to continue on and on and on because it will set in bitterness. the last type of anger we must overcome and we must understand is sanctified anger. And that must be channeled in the right direction for God. Remember, Ephesians 4:26 tells us that we can be angry. It's okay to be angry, but not to sin. That's the whole point. We can be angry. There is an anger. Let's turn to Mark 3. We'll see a passage here that describes this type of anger. Mark 3 and verse 1. Mark 3 and verse 1. Who better to give us an example than Christ himself? Mark 3 and verse 1. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And verse 3, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. And verse 5, and when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. You see, brethren, the focus of Christ's anger is at their hearts. Christ is angry because their stubborn hearts and their stubborn anger, they didn't want to see what was right. They didn't want to hear what was right. They only wanted to continue in their stubborn anger. And Christ was angry because of it. The sun has come up. The sun has gone down. Satan had established a foothold in their lives, and they were not going to let it go. And Jesus is angry at that stubborn anger. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points, even as we are tempted, but he never sinned. So we can see in this passage that Christ became angry, but it wasn't sinful anger. It was sanctified anger, channeled anger, anger that was the right focus and on the right object. We can become angry at countless things that go on in this society around us, brethren. We can. We can be angry at the abortions. We can be angry at the riots and the killings and these unnecessary things we see. Abuse of alcohol and drugs in our society. The complete lack of respect for God's way of life. We can be angry at those things. His laws and commandments being obliterated and spat on by mankind. We can be angry at those things. But if it's to be anger, then it must be channeled in the right direction. Understand, brethren, that we are living in Satan's society, and we should hate the sin that is running rampant around us without hating those that do not have God's understanding. There are all kinds of anger we deal with, brethren, and if you are wrestling with them, God promises he will give you the help you need to overcome. If you'll go to him, be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't be vengeful or try to justify your anger towards someone. Don't allow Satan to have a foothold in your life. Channel your anger in the right way, a way that understands the sins of this world are all around us. Keep God and his plan for you in focus, so that one day, brethren, one day we can help others understand the mercy of our great God.